We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Praying about this morning and what would I share and what could I share and Easter, and this is what I felt the Lord gave me. Matter of fact, it's actually what we've used to promote our Easter services. It's found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and I'm reading from the Message Bible translation. Are you tired, worn out, burnout, and religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Isn't it interesting to notice that Jesus separates himself from religion here? He actually separates himself from religion. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. How many are glad that Jesus is not putting anything heavy or ill-fitting on you? I don't know if it's like, remember growing up as a little kid, maybe your mother or your father bought you something and you went, I am so not wearing that to school. You with me here? Well, Jesus is not going to put anything on you that you're going to be embarrassed wearing. It'll be nothing heavy or ill-fitting on you. It says here now, keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. I just think in a couple of thoughts for Easter this Sunday morning, what could I share to encourage us this Easter Sunday morning? Here's the first thought. Jesus wants to refresh you. Jesus does not want to put heaviness, anything that's ill-fitting. Matter of fact, he says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you stressed out? He goes, you know, are you burnt out on religion? Jesus wants to refresh you. Let me just say this. Religion will burn you out. Amen. I mean, let's be honest now. If the horse is dead, dismount. Why are we trying to give CPR to something that's already dead? Burnout on religion. Let me tell you, religion has no answers for anybody. There is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But the bottom line is, listen, this is what goes on. You know, everybody thinks, well, there's many ways to God. Many people think, well, there's just all these different things. Whatever you're into is cool. Matter of fact, I discovered people are deaf to words. They just like, so many people have got lots of words. And we're tired out on words. And matter of fact, I did this study in the latest statistics about the amount of stress that the average American has. And the latest statistic that I was able to get was in 2017 that 54% of Americans said they were stressed or burnt out, according to statistics. Why do so many Americans feel this way? I mean, why would we, in such an amazing country, so many people say they are stressed or they're burnt out? 54%. That means more Americans living in the United States are stressed and burnt out than those who aren't. And I was thinking, well, how could that be? Well, maybe because we were told that our dreams will make us happy. When we got the dream, it didn't work out. Maybe it was because we thought that what gives us happiness isn't making us happy. Maybe there's broken dreams. Maybe there's false promises. Matter of fact, our culture has told us that if you get your dream house, that'll make you happy. Money will make you happy. Your job will give you peace. Your partner or that significant other that you share your life with will give you purpose. And we live in the best country in the world, and yet we're burnt out. How's that happen? I can't forget when you think about it. We've seen more medical breakthroughs than ever, and yet sickness overtakes us still. We live in the best economy that the United States has ever seen, and money's not making us happy. Churches have failed us. They live in the past and are unable to adapt into an ever-changing environment and an ever-changing world where they're unable to stay true to the teaching of Scripture and yet remain relevant to society. We live in a world where communication and technology has never been more fast-paced than it is today, and yet we've never felt more alone and more isolated. And in all honesty, when you think about who our heroes are today, they're all from comic books. And I'm thinking, why are we burnt out? I actually think it all goes back to the garden. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 2. We're confused about so many things, stressed out about what is life? How do we get peace? And we kind of have tried to figure it out, but I think this is it. It says in Genesis 2, this is God when he made Adam and Eve. And God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So God is saying, Adam, it's all here for you. Have at it. Have dominion. Multiply. Have babies. Have fun having babies. With your wife. Thought I'd just add that for someone here today. And the other thing is, listen, Adam, I'm God. You're not. So there's this one thing you don't touch. You don't touch of the tree of the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. You haven't figured it out. You never will. Don't touch it. Everything else, it's all for you. Isn't it amazing how we always want the one thing we can't have? And so the devil comes along and the devil says in Genesis 3 verse 4, he said, you certainly will not die, the serpent said to the woman. And Eve ate of the one thing that God said don't. And the serpent lied to her. And let me tell you, the serpent is still lying today. He's trying to tell the world, listen, who says that God sets what is good and what is evil? You figure it out for yourself. And he's still lying today. And that's why I believe there's so much stress in our world. Because we're trying to say to God, forgive me for saying it, screw you, God. Who makes you in charge of me making my decisions as what is right and what is wrong? Come on, somebody. This all traces back to the garden when God said, when man said to God, I wanted to find what's good and what's evil. Don't tell me, I'll find out for myself. Stay out of my marriage, stay out of my relationships. I'll decide what a family looks like. I'll decide my gender identity. I'll decide from right from wrong. I'll decide good from bad. And this is what happens. The world has never been more confused and more divided because we've kicked God out of the knowledge of good and evil. We say, God, stay out of the courts. We say, God, stay out of the school and education. Stay out of the political system. Stay out of science. Stay out of my sexual lifestyle orientation. Stay out of social issues. We even want God off a dollar bill. All this is summed up in one verse, Proverbs 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to refresh you. And the way in which we'll know refreshing is when we say, God, you hold the knowledge between what is good and what is evil, and we're going to get back to the garden. Come on, somebody give God some praise if you believe that. Here's the second thought just from that verse I read. It says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Do you know, there's nothing more to me. I love those pictures when you see maybe a dad holding the hand of their little child and they're walking. I think I got a picture here, not of a dad, but Sam, who is a dad. And that's our son holding his niece's hand, walking through, I think, an airport or a mall. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the picture that God wants you and I to have of how he wants you and I to walk with him. That we could put our hand in the hand of our Father and listen to it. He wants to walk with us. He says, get away with me. He says, you'll recover your life. I will show you what real rest looks like. When you run, you miss the moments when miracles happen. And we live in such a fast-paced world nowadays. Isn't that true? I remember years and years ago, I was in a hurry and I was trying to get dinner for the family and I pulled into a drive-thru, what's called fast food. And I remember, you know, the goal of fast food experiences are that from when you order your food to the time that you pick it up, it's a 90-second process. And I remember sitting in my car, looking at the drive-thru, and I remember thinking, this has taken 5 minutes. And I'm getting annoyed how long it's taking. Because we live in an ever fast fast-paced society. How many remember when microwaves were first invented? How many remember that? How many? Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Young people, look around. Fossils. I remember when a microwave was first invented. And man, do you remember how fast it was? But I'm convinced over the years that microwave is nowhere near as fast as it used to be. Because we live in such a fast-paced society, we want everything now. But here's Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. He had to be there long enough for the wine to run out. He wasn't just running through the drive-thru of life. He was interacting with people. He was sitting with them. He was walking with them. He was talking. Wait, you've run out of wine? No problem. We'll fix that. Amen. Think about the fig tree Jesus cursed. And the Bible says they walked by it a couple of days later. And listen to this. We don't see dead things in our life because we're running. But Jesus is walking. Mark chapter 5 and Jairus' daughter. Jesus walked to heal Jairus' daughter because of the crowd that was around him. Get away with me. Let's go back and walk with God in the garden who holds the knowledge of good and of evil. Amen. When you walk with God, you get your peace. Let's go back to the garden. God walks, and yet we're in a hurry. We're running, chasing our dream, our version of happiness, but God walks. We tell our children, don't run out onto the road or you'll get run over. Isn't that true? Don't go out there. You know, our grandchildren, they love to go up and down my driveway, but at the end of the driveway, there's a road. Now, I can see what they can't see. I can see the impending danger of a car, but they can't. They're just excited about the moment. That's God. Listen, don't run. Walk. I can see further and better than you. Walk with me. You'll be safe. Somebody here needs to learn. We got to learn how to walk with God and not be running everywhere. Amen? Huh. There's a great old, I guess you call it a poem or a great written statement that's one of my favorites. It's called Footprints in the Sand. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from my life. From each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. And after the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially during the lowest and the saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really disturbed me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the day. But I noticed during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, would you leave me? And he whispered, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. Never ever during the trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, that is when I carried you. Can I tell you, we got to learn to walk with God. The Bible says, yeah, come on, give the Lord a hand. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. The disciples walked with Jesus. Listen to what they said when Jesus was taken away from them and now he reappears. This is what the Easter story comes in on. And it says when Jesus finally made himself known to the disciples after he was put to death and after he was resurrected, and they didn't yet realize it was Jesus walking with them on the Emmaus Road. And maybe there's some people here today and Jesus is on your Emmaus Road. You're walking thinking, where is God? And can I tell you, he's right there beside you. You just can't see him. Amen. God, where are you? What happened? Listen to what the disciples said. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? It is my great prayer today that your hearts will be warmed as the word of God is being opened to you today. And you realize that Jesus wants to refresh you and Jesus wants you to walk with him in Jesus' name. Here's the third thing I love from the scripture. It says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. In other words, here's the third thought. Jesus didn't just influence with words, he was big on example. There's a lot of people who've got a lot of theories. Are you hearing me? I remember one time I had this pastor, and he actually had maybe, I think, just one child that was like 1 year of age. And this pastor kept going around telling everybody how to raise their kids because he had his first child that was 1 year of age. And I said, dude, it's good that you're going around telling everybody how to raise kids, but you might want to have raised your own before you think you got too much of an opinion. Like, I appreciate the rhetoric, I appreciate the theory, but you might want to hold off on some of that advice. You might want to be asking other people who have successfully raised kids how to do it right out, telling every. And by the way, the advice he was given was really bad. That was the whole point. And I'm thinking, yeah. And of course, I think maybe now he's got it, the kids are a little bit older. I think he's starting to figure that out just a little. But Jesus wasn't just big on words. He was big on example. Amen. He says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. I think Jesus is wonderful in terms of his example of kindness. Remember the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? In the culture in the day in which that existed, if you were found guilty of that under the Jewish law, you were to be stoned to death. And here they all were, ready to stone her. Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Can I just say something? If you catch somebody in the very act of adultery, where's the man? Why do they just bring the woman? Like, hello? And here she is. And they like, she's embarrassed. She's humiliated. And all these religious people are ready to stone her. What do you say, Jesus? And Jesus, I love this. Jesus just gets down on the ground. They're all going, well, what's he doing? And he just starts writing. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. It doesn't tell us. But I don't know what he wrote. But then he looked up at them and he smiled. He goes, yeah, the Lord does say that. And he keeps writing and he says, he who is without sin. And he's writing, cast the first stone. And maybe some of those religious people were blind enough to think they were without sin. And just maybe what Jesus was writing was the name of the woman he slept with last week. I don't know what he wrote. All they know is, from the oldest to the youngest, they all dropped their rocks and walked away. And he said to the woman, where are your accusers? And Jesus says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Come on, somebody. Jesus just isn't big on words. He shows us what mercy looks like. He shows us what power looks like. He shows us what justice looks like. He exposed hypocrisy. Number four, the fourth thing I see from this scripture is that Jesus extends an invitation. Jesus will never force you into anything you're not ready for. Come on, somebody. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Look at this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards your family and builds the city and guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Could you imagine all that work and all that effort of self and it doesn't work? Jacob was a schemer. Jacob tried to get the blessing of God. He tried to make it happen through lying and stealing and manipulation. And ultimately, it all ended up for nothing. And then he encountered Jesus. Most scholars believe that who Jacob encountered in this story was Jesus himself. And Jacob went, you mean to tell me I didn't have to lie and steal and manipulate? That God wanted to bless me and refresh me and wanted me to know peace and prosperity, and I've been trying to get it my way, and all I had to do was just be good with the fact that God wants to bless me and I don't have to try and make it happen. Can I tell you, God loves you and he wants to bless you, and you don't have to try to force and half and path and try to make it happen. You don't need to strive. You just got to learn to walk with Jesus. I love this scripture. Listen to this. It's an invitation. He says, come, In Isaiah 55, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat with no money. In other words, your money can't buy this. Did you hear it? Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Religion, you'll pay. In the world, you'll pay. I've never seen anybody walk into a casino and go, man, this casino just wants my money. But oh, I promise you they do. I, for the first time in my life, actually sat at a casino table just a few months ago. And I've never done it before in my life. I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. I got $200. I'll see how long I can hang on to $200. And I remember I asked for a Diet Coke. And I said to the girl, how do I pay for that? And she looked at me. She goes, you've never done this before, have you, sweetheart? And I went, no. She goes, hey, if you're sitting here gambling, you can have all the alcohol you want. It's for free. As long as you're gambling, we'll provide the alcohol. I said, Diet Coke will be fine. Thank you very much. See, they're after your money. But you know, people walk into church and go, this church is after my money. Can I tell you, God is after you, not your money. God wants your heart. He wants to bless you. Come on, somebody give God some praise. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you will eat and delight in the richest affair. Give ear, come to me, listen that you may live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you with my faithful love that I promised to David. Can I just say this to you? Jesus extends an invitation right here this morning. I said at the start of this service, we went to Walmart expecting to get something from Walmart. And I'm here to extend an invitation to you who've come to Wave Church. You're in God's house. And I pray it's more than just a good feeling. I pray it's more than just a nice little religious moment for you. But I'm praying today you would get Jesus and you would understand that Jesus is extending an invitation to you, that he wants to refresh you. He wants to walk with you. He will not force himself on you, but there's an invitation to come to him in Jesus' name. And here's the last thought, is simply this. Jesus said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In other words, Jesus, look at me now. Jesus removes heaviness and he lifts burdens from you. The Bible says, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anything that's too heavy on your life is not of God. Anything that's too hard in your life is not from God. That's not to say that there aren't things in your life that are heavy. And that's not to say there aren't things in your life that are hard. But Jesus said, let's have an exchange. Cast your burdens to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe today there can be an exchange that can take place. And you can give to God that which is too hard and that which is too heavy. Trying to get to God by your good works. Trying to earn your salvation. Try to earn your reward in heaven. There's nothing you and I could do that would ever get us that award or that end in heaven. It's what he did on the cross that we celebrate today. And there's an invitation for you. Come on, somebody give God some praise if you believe it. Come on, this resurrection Sunday morning, amen? Jesus wants to refresh you. Jesus wants to walk with you. Jesus' influence is not just in words, but an example. Jesus invites you and Jesus removes anything that's too heavy and too hard. I want to pray for you this morning. Everybody that's online, I want to pray for you. I'm believing here this morning that you will meet Jesus. Who's believing with me? Anybody believing this Easter Sunday morning that people are going to meet Jesus? Oh, I wish you could have seen. The 9 o'clock service was packed. And let me tell you, there were so many people that responded to Jesus. And I believe the response is going to be just the same here. Look at me. Look at me. Would you stop running? Would you stop trying to make it happen your way? Would you allow God? Would you make a decision this morning? I'm going to get back to the garden. I'm going to walk with God. And God, you have the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. And I'm going to live according to your word and your wisdom. And I want to walk with you. And I want to know refreshing. And I thank you, God. You're not just good with words, but you're good in demonstration. And I thank you, God, that you want me to know peace and refreshing. I accept your invitation. I want to walk with you. Anybody believing would be, people are going to do that today. Oh, come on. I'd love to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But I'm going to ask you, if you want to receive this invitation that Jesus offers you, in a moment, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to bow our heads. And when we do that, I'm going to ask you, if you say, Steve, pray for me, I want to respond to the invitation. Steve, I want to walk with God in the garden. I want to come back to God. I'm going to let Him define that which is good and that which is evil. I'm going to live with Jesus. I want to know refreshing. I want to get the burden of religion and the burden of me trying to make it happen myself. I just want God. I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. When we close our eyes and when we bow our heads, if you just take your hand and would you just put it up in the air nice and high? High enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray for you. That's all we're going to do this morning. Can you say amen, church? Already people are lifting their hands. Come on, church, let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And if that's you, when you say, Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, I want to get to the garden. I want to come back to God. I want to reach out to that invitation. Lift your hand right now. Come on, lift it all over the building. God bless you. 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 Come on, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's so many hands. God bless you. 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 Come on, over the sound desk there. Give me a wave if I can't see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Up there, I'm looking for you. Come on, that's it. God bless you. You. God bless you. God bless you. I'm looking for you. The hands everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Every one of these is somebody. God bless you. 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 Oh, come on, church. Hands are being raised. God bless you. Oh, I promise you're not coming to me. We're coming to Jesus. I just want to pray for those people. Can we pray for those people? Can we thank God that the people this morning are receiving the invitation? Can we pray this prayer out loud, everybody? Everybody who lifted your hands, everybody who didn't, let's all pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I thank you, you do that now. I receive the invitation. I want to walk with you. I thank you, Jesus. You now live in me. I am now a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know we've clapped, but this ought to be the best clap.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.